This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, I'd like to start with yourself, Sheikh Wahaj, if that's okay.
Bismillah.
If you had to pick a single point to focus on improving ourselves, and for those of us with children, to develop our children, what would it be?
Bismillah wa salatu ala Rasulillah wa ba'd. Probably the most important point, self-discipline. Most of you will probably be aware, but in case you're not, there was an experiment done many, many years ago by a psychologist in Stanford University. And what he did is he got these little kids, 4 years old, 4 and a half, 5 years old kids, and he placed them in a room and he put a marshmallow in front of them. And he told the kid, he says, listen, I'm going to leave the room for a while. This marshmallow is here. When I come back, if the marshmallow is still here, I'll give you 2 marshmallows. But if it's not here and you've ate the marshmallow, then that's it. You just have the 1 marshmallow. So there was a challenge between instant gratification, as in eat the marshmallow, or long-term rewards, meaning kind of bear the temptation, control yourself, discipline, and then get double the reward. So you see these little kids trying to avoid the temptation of eating the marshmallow. You know, some of them start spinning around, some of them sing. Some of them try to lick the marshmallow, you know, somehow trying to get the 2 marshmallows without. So this is what they call a longitudinal study. So they monitored these kids over time. And they noticed that the kids that resisted instant gratification over time did well, better in their studies. They had a higher rate of graduation, they had better jobs later on, they had better relationships and everything else. So the conclusion from the research was, from the experiment, the famous marshmallow experiment, is probably one of the few things that is directly linked to success, is self-control or self-discipline. And the entirety of the deen is about that. And Allah Rabbul Izzah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Whoever fears the station of his Lord and controls the self from its whims and fancies, next step, Jannah. So, for ourselves, best thing, self-control. For our kids, the best thing you can train them in, and be intelligent about this, because potentially this, you know, crazy experiments could come out of this, and I don't want to be responsible for it, is to teach your children self-discipline. Allah Rabbul Izzah grant me and you success, Ya Rabbi.
Ameen. Jazakumullah. Sheikh, I heard in this study also, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a young Muslim child as well, and they brought out another marshmallow and then another, and he didn't take any of them. He said because it had gelatin in it.
I don't know, but I don't want to take responsibility for correcting you,
Habib. No. I was just joking.
Not my business. Yeah.
Allah bless you. Of course, instant gratification, delayed gratification is a huge quality, sabr, the foundation of all of our good qualities. Mufti Menk, we heard from you earlier, Jazakumullah khair, on marriage. And it's funny, when you're talking about the qualities and the people fall in love before they've even spent any time with each other. And when we speak to people, often I find my friends who are married and I ask them, what are they looking for in their spouse? And even the other way, you almost get like a prototype answer. I'd like someone who's practicing, but not too practicing. You know, they've got to be a good person, they, you know, got to be earning well, etc. And you end up with this kind of very vanilla list of what they want. What would you say, if you could say, of all the questions, 3 top questions that a person should ask their potential spouse or the family should ask when considering marriage?
I think, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, one of the most important things is when you ask a question directly to the person you want to get married to, they may deceive you if they want to marry you sometimes. And a lot of the times people don't realize that. It's so easy to say, yeah, I pray five times a day, and then you get married to them and they don't pray. Or I read lots of Quran and they don't even know how to read the Quran. It has happened. So it's easy to say, ask the questions, but you have to know from someone who knows them. That's what we, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ speaks about knowing a person either by having lived with them. In fact, it's Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu who mentions in a specific way about knowing someone either by living with them, traveling with them, or doing business with them. Obviously, when it comes to who you're going to get married to, you would have to either communicate with people who know that person. So say, for example, there is a potential spouse for a daughter of mine. I would need to contact or get hold of some of the crowd that this guy mixes with just to find out without having asked him specifically. Because you're going to ask someone, do you smoke? He says, no, I don't. And then when you marry him, he smokes. And then he tells you, well, I thought you were asking me about cigarettes. I just smoke weed. And that's happening. It's happening right now. And there are people who say, well, what's wrong with weed? The whole world does weed. It's a fact. This is what's going on. It's not the way. So as much as we have a list of things, it's not wrong to have a list of things to check. But how you're going to check that is what's of essence. So I've also told people, you have a list. Are you a person whom someone who ticks your list would actually be interested in? That's a very interesting one, because I've had sometimes brothers and sisters say, I need a spouse like this, this, this. Some of them are prohibitive, which means it's very difficult to find a person like that. The first question I say, for argument's sake, we found a guy, we brought him here. When he looks at you, do you think he'd be interested in you? I mean, you want a Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, you got to also be someone who's somewhere, you know, up the lines there, man. So it's tricky, but I think it's important to check out character. When they're upset, when they're angered a little bit, how do they react? That says a lot about a person. You know, when things don't go their way, how do they react? That to me will tell you a lot about a person. Similarly, the issue of responsibility, are they responsible? Is this person responsible? Responsible meaning religiously, obviously, to begin with, responsibility with their prayer, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a few other matters, you know, trustworthiness comes into the issue of responsibility as well. And thereafter, you know, you look at broader character, because the deen has been included. You know, responsibility, like I said, it would include as a Muslim to be a person who prays, to be a person who's got a connection with Allah, who's got conscious, who knows what to do and when to do it and how much of it to do. Wallahu a'lam. May Allah make it easy. As much as we have access to millions of more people than our parents did and our grandparents did, for some strange reason, it is a million times more difficult to get married nowadays. Agreed, guys?
Subhanallah.
Yeah, there it goes.
Mufti Pakni,
Habibi, before you say anything, I figured out how to fix the mic stuff, Mufti.
Yes.
So we pick it up and we put it on this thing here.
MashaAllah. So you can
and
sit back.
And then you sit back.
And relax. Wow.
Yeah. Like that.
Oh, the wire's a little bit shorter on my side.
Keep pulling it, Mufti. Don't worry. It's just a little... Yeah, it's all right.
There it goes.
Just a round of applause for that, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, I had a question for Sheikh Wahaj from problem solving. I feel a bit silly asking it now, but I will still ask that question, no doubt. But I did want to ask Mufti Menk yourself actually a question, continuing it slightly, because something you said was very interesting about when you ask a question, the route through asking the question. And I guess outside of the couple, there's often quite a few different people involved potentially in a marriage situation. And sometimes you may be asked about someone else with regards to marriage. In that situation, how truthful should you be? What should you do? Like, you know,
we have a problem in the ummah, because I am taught when someone wants to do business with another or someone wants to marry another and they ask me for a reference, I have to be brutally honest. But the fact is, they will go and tell those people that I said this and this about them, so now it's going to be disastrous for my relation. So many people just say, please don't ask me. And they know a lot about it. So we've got a double-edged sword here. In reality, you're supposed to be brutally honest. And you're supposed to say, listen, I don't think it's a good idea, or I think it's a good idea. And if you don't want to word it that way, you can say, look, maybe this person might have changed, but they've been in X, Y, and Z. The last time I knew, this is what happened in front of my eyes, and so on. Or you could say, look, I've heard a lot. I've done this. I've heard so much about this person, but I have never seen any of those things. So best you find out from someone who might have seen it. You see, so that's a way of just warning them. Because I've found we've got so many problems in the Ummah. A lot of the times, the parents of people who have already decided to get married, they're just pushing their parents into submission. They're coming to you and saying, what do you think of this guy? They just want a rubber stamp validation for it. And you know this is a disaster, but unfortunately it's already happening. You know, a month or two later you see the couple come together, they look at you, they ignore you and they walk on, and you know what happened. Because you told the father something and the father told them that you told them that in order to try and get them to break it, and they didn't. But then 3 years later they come to you and say, we're not getting on. Well, I thought I told your dad that a few years ago. But so we're facing a disaster. A lot of people are not honest. When someone asks you, what do you know of this brother, you know, for marriage purposes, they won't say it to you because they feel that, you know, why should I tell you? But that's not Islam. But then again, when they do tell you, is it Islam to go and sell them out and let the people know, look, I was told this by this person. It was just an amana. So we've got to deal with both sides of that. If you want me to tell you a fact, You've got to protect the confidence here. It's like the scholars. When people used to go to the scholars with their problems, the whole village knew about what they were going through. So they stopped going to the scholars. So who do they go to? They go to someone else. And that's why we always tell the scholars that, you know what? Someone's come to you with problems, you dare even breathe a word at home. They shouldn't know what's gone on. That's an amana. You take it to your grave. Unless they would like you to let someone know, or unless it's so dangerous and disastrous that you have to let someone know. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakallah, Shaykh. Shaykh Wajd, in your lecture you mentioned the problem of solving abilities, how the Sahaba. And so this is why I was saying that, how do you develop that ability to problem solve?
So one of the things that as adults and as parents we like to do, which we shouldn't do, is we like to spoon feed our kids. So we see it as a token of love if you remove a hurdle from a person's path, as opposed to letting them climb over the hurdle themselves. So often you'll see a young kid trying to fix something, dad will walk by and say, nah, sweetheart, don't do it like this here, do this like this, or let me do it for you, give me that, I'll fix it, and so on. From the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn the exact opposite. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu arda was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some 10 years. And he says, in the 10 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never told me, do this like this and don't do this like that. Which means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is creating a safe environment for him to do what he needs to do, learn what he needs to learn, fall when he needs to fall, learn to climb back up when he needs to climb back up. So that he's prepared for a better version of life. So number one in our problem solving is give some space for people to rehearse, practice, make mistakes, fall, and get back up. Part of that space is safety, so lack of input. Like, you will know full well that that nut will not go onto that bolt, so don't say it, just let the guy figure it out. And that way they develop confidence in being able to tackle problems themselves. Sometimes give them problems to solve. Like whether that's a logical problem, whether that's a physical problem, whether that's a mechanical problem, whether that's a family problem. I talked about consultation. Like if you sit with your kids down and say, listen, sweetheart, I have this business dilemma. What should I do? Like, trust me, the level of maturity and problem-solving ability that will induce in the child is phenomenal. Yeah, there will be the awkwardness where he feels almost at your level, but that's just that's part of upbringing and training. So whatever you want the person to be good at, give them opportunities to be good and that, give them opportunities to practice. My dear brother, the world is changing. What worked yesterday will not work tomorrow. Can I take a minute in this?
Bismillah.
So one of the problems that no one realizes is coming, or some people realize, is automation. I was in one of the countries overseas. There was a man, his single job in life was to open the gate and close the gate. So I said, in our country, there's a button, you click, the gate opens automatically. There's another thing, that there's an attachment on my car. As I come near the gate, it opens automatically, which means that job became redundant. In Australia, now trucks are self-driven. Some people drive Uber. Uber currently is working very hard to make their cars driverless. Like currently, they take some 27-30+% from commission from the workers. They're trying to even take that away so that they can keep all the money themselves. So they'll be driverless. Uber cars coming through, meaning all those in Uber will also lose their jobs sometime soon. Even medical, I saw latest, not latest, but a recent thing, legal advice is now given by computers, medical advice given by them, operations happening by technology. So think tanks predict that in the Western world, jobs will come from 5 days a week to 4 days a week. And then it will reduce to 3 days a week. Like that's where it will reach equilibrium. This is the forecast. And the amount of problems and anxieties and financial hurdles and social problems that will stem out of this is unpredictable. And the normal traditional ways of working through life will not work. So me and you have to become problem solvers, innovators for situations that we can't even see arising. Like this is a responsibility we need to communicate to our population, that we need to create people with ability to see a novel problem, create a solution, entrepreneurial type of approach, so that they can excel in the coming environment. Allah protect you, Ya Rabbi.